The text for our meditation this morning is written for us in Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land. These are the words of our text. Please be seated. In Christ Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I was 19 when I stood beside a coffin for the first time and looked down on death. The pale, cold, lifeless body of my father caused me to be, I suppose, numb. Not so much in the sense that I didn't have any feelings, but in the sense that I didn't know what to feel. The turmoil raging inside me as I came face to face with death was almost too much to bear. And I don't know that I really verbalized it or thought it in these words, but I think I can summarize my feelings with this question: what good can possibly come from this? Maybe you haven't stood by a coffin and felt that way. Maybe it was a sickness or a loss of another time when you have thought, "What good can possibly come from this?" It's at those times, when we are contemplating that question, that our life can seem most hopeless. What good can possibly come from this? Maybe in the months ahead it will be as you stare down at an exam paper that you think, "What good can come from this?" And we have to admit that sometimes the hopelessness that we experience in our life is from outside forces, but sometimes it's also from inside forces. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just feel like it doesn't matter how hard I try, I always mess up. It doesn't matter how good my intentions are and how earnestly I desire to do what I know God wants me to do. I always mess up. Life can seem hopeless. But what a wonderful text for us to consider today in our lives of hopelessness. Jesus is hope in both life and death. There are two people in our text that are faced with a situation of hopelessness. Jairus came to Jesus at first because his daughter was sick. Mark and Luke tell us that. And while he was with Jesus, servants came from his house, or a message came from his house that his daughter had died. Maybe if you were there with Jesus, you'd think, all hope is gone now. We have seen Jesus heal people who were sick, but come on, she's dead. There's no hope. That's the first character. The second person in our text is a woman who I dare say felt like everything was hopeless. Matthew simply says that she had an issue of blood for 12 years. But Mark and Luke also told us that she spent all her money at the doctors trying to get better. Can you imagine that dread news of the doctor walking into your room and simply saying, "There's nothing we can do"? Wouldn't it feel like hope just vanished? But Jairus and this woman, whoever she was, had a source of hope. They had obviously heard about this wonderful miracle worker, Jesus. So they came to him. The woman even thought, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. Where doctors had failed her, she trusted that just touching Jesus' cloak would be enough to make her well. Even when Jairus heard the news that his daughter had died, he responded by falling at Jesus' feet, worshiping him, and then that remarkable statement, "Lay your hand on her, and she will live." What great faith these two individuals had. When all hope seemed to be lost, they went to the one who could provide them hope in this hopeless life. And Jesus did not disappoint. Our text tells us right there at that hour, that woman was made well. Her faith was not misdirected. She believed, and she was made well. Jairus was not disappointed either. Jesus went to his house, took Jairus' daughter by her hand, and she arose. It was just as if Jesus was right when he said, "She's only sleeping." Would have we ridiculed like the mourners in the house? Oh, come on, we know what death is. But death for Jesus, it's just a sleep. And the death that Jesus conquered here is a picture of what he would do for us all. One day he himself would be lying in a tomb dead. But he rose. Resurrection does not just demonstrate his power over death, but his resurrection means that sin, death, and the devil will not have the last word. And I think that's something that we need to ponder. Because when we feel hopeless, we feel as if the last word has been spoken. That nothing can change the situation. This is just the way it's going to be. But sin, death, and the devil don't have the last word. Jesus does. So when your failings make you feel hopeless, when you feel like you can do nothing right, don't listen to your heart. Don't follow the thoughts of your head. Listen to the hope giver. Listen to Jesus. He declares that your sins are forgiven. And he paid for every last one of them. So it's true. And God raised him from the dead so that you can know it and put your trust in him. We may live in an earthly life that is hopeless. Sin has wrecked us, and it's wrecked this world. But Jesus, he's the hope giver. He has hope for you in this life and in the life to come. Be like Jairus and this woman. When everyone else fails you, come to Jesus. He will never let you down because he has the last word. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.